We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
As a person of faith, I believe we are called to care for each other and work to ease human suffering. The full promise of stem cell research remains unknown, and it's about letting scientists do their jobs, and that we make scientific decisions based on facts, not ideology.
If someone would disagree with the church on abortion, I don't see how they can call themselves a Catholic. And the vanity or hurt feelings of an individual Catholic governor or senator or even vice president do not take priority over the faith of the believing community.
Christian film is bad film for the same reason that pornography is bad. It's made on low budgets. There's nobody in it with much talent. We all know how the story's going to turn out.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
I mean, it used to be if you were sick, I mean really sick, perhaps near death, or maybe even not near death, the hospital would be the safest place for you to be. All of the policies of these institutions were built around doing no harm. But can that be said to be true today in many of our hospitals here in America? We know what it's like in Western Europe. In Western Europe, there are hospitals where you might not come out alive if you don't meet certain criteria for a life worth living. Europe past and present, I speak of. What about here in America? There's a thing called futile care theory. It doesn't go by that name anymore because that sounds so harsh, but it still is what it is. Wesley Smith joins us for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. to talk about futile care theory. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin this discussion with Wesley Smith, and then we'll talk to Ken Samples about the worldview of naturalism. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 24th of March. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-6943, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Wesley Smith is a regular guest, senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, and author of several books, including Forced Exit. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Good to talk with you again.
How is it nowadays that even here in America, a patient that isn't dying, that has every reason to go on living, but may be severely disabled or cognitively disabled or unable to get out of bed or any of those kinds of things, might not leave the hospital alive, worse yet, might be denied simple basic care like food and water until they die?
Well, this is the move towards, in my view, healthcare rationing, and that cannot be done politically now. So what you see in bioethics is this ad hoc healthcare rationing push known as medical futility. I call it futile care theory, F-U-T-I-L-E, sometimes called inappropriate care, in which doctors and bioethics committees are being given the power to say no to wanted, and at this point it's life-sustaining medical treatment. In Texas, that has been the law for many years now. And right now in Idaho, there is a bill, Senate Bill 1114, that passed unanimously through the Idaho Senate that would allow doctors and ethics committees to specifically overturn a patient's advance written directive saying they wanted treatment if the at bioethics committee or the doctor believed that the treatment wasn't worth giving based on a quality of life judgment. We have been able to stop that bill so far in the Idaho House, but the fact that it got through the Senate without anybody noticing is cause for real alarm. This is the big, along with assisted suicide, bioethical controversy that is going to roil this country over the next 10 years.
What is the rationale, such as it is, behind futile care theory?
There are two different rationales primarily. The first one that is most often pushed is that by keeping certain people alive, you are harming that patient. The idea is all you're doing is, and they turn medicine on its head. Instead of extending life, which is what's really going on, they will say, oh, you're just extending the dying. Well, when you think about it, giving a diabetic insulin is extending the dying. This is ludicrous. When a patient wants to live and have his or her life extended, that is a quintessential purpose of medicine. So they will say, this is causing suffering, you're just extending the dying, this life can, you know, this person will never be 100% again or will never be back on his or her feet, and therefore the suffering isn't worth the quality of life. Well, but that should not be for the doctor or the bioethics committee to decide. What you and I might decide we do or do not want in that kind of situation may not be what the doctor's position is. Moreover, as you pointed out, sometimes this would involve simple feeding tubes with patients diagnosed in a persistent vegetative state, which is 40% of the time, according to several studies, misdiagnosed. And sometimes people wake up from those supposedly permanent unconscious conditions. The second basis for this, which I think is what's really going on, is money, that we have limited resources. We have some of these are very expensive people to care for, realize that we're no longer in a fee-for-service system, but we're in a managed care system where hospitals will get a lump sum payment for patients, and therefore if they're in the intensive care unit for too long, they could lose money. The idea is called distributive justice in bioethics. Little Susie doesn't have health insurance in Appalachia, so Grandma Jones up in say North Dakota shouldn't be allowed to have a feeding tube after she has a stroke. That's the ad hoc healthcare rationing agenda, and it is much more explicit, as you pointed out, in other countries, particularly in the United Kingdom, where recently a baby was forced off a respirator over parental objections because that baby had a terminal condition and the bioethicist decided and the doctors decided they didn't want this care to be provided.
How is this finding its way into American hospitals? Who is pushing this? I mean, if there's, let's say, a hospital out there in California that has adopted this through its bioethics committee, who's pushing it and how did it get there?
Well, it's been happening for many years. In my book, my 2001 book, Culture of Death, I warned about this agenda. For about 10 or 15 years now, the bioethics movement has been pushing this agenda. They're the same people who said that food and fluids through a tube should be considered medical treatment that could be taken away. In the 80s, people said, oh, that'll never happen. In 1990, Nancy Kuzan found her feeding tube removed, and we saw what happened with Terry Schiavo. And now this agenda has been on the bioethics plate 10, 15 years. You've seen some hospitals adopt these protocols. Some refuse to adopt these protocols, but we don't know which is which. There's never been a thorough study as to which hospitals have them and which don't. In Texas, it's the law. If a doctor doesn't want to provide wanted life-sustaining treatment, and he or she goes to a bioethics committee and gets a determination from that committee that the treatment is, quote, inappropriate or should not be provided, the patient has 10 days to find another hospital or the care can be cut off. Good luck finding another hospital because often these are expensive patients and other hospitals won't take them. And there have been several cases in Texas that got a lot of publicity in which families fought against these impositions, and because of the publicity, they were able to prevail, not because of the law. And as I said, right now, in Idaho, there's a bill to permit this with a 15-day transfer ability or cutoff of care. And some states have these kind of very vague statements. My state of California has a vague statute that might or might not permit it because it's silent about whether or not life-sustaining treatment can be cut off. But this is going to be an increasing agenda. And all those editorial boards who, during the Terry Schiavo case, were saying families should be allowed to decide these issues, you watch. As soon as the doctors start saying, well, we have to cut off this care because it's not appropriate or it costs too much money, these very same liberal boards will say doctors should be able to make this choice. You'll find very quickly, as I've seen in some editorials and in arguing with so-called right-to-die advocates, that autonomy works when the choice is death. But when the choice is life, many say, well, wait a second, autonomy has its limits.
Okay, with only 30 seconds here, Wesley, what's the one question the prospective patient should ask of the hospital to ensure, especially when it's a life and death kind of a thing, to ensure that this hospital is not employing feudal care theory?
Sure. Just say, do you have a policy about denying treatment that I have asked for an advance directive or my healthcare surrogate has decided I should receive?
Excellent question. Folks, you really need to bookmark Wesley Smith's excellent website. Go to ours, issuesetc.org, click on demand, and you'll find a link to Wesley Smith's website. Bookmark it and visit it often. It's a great resource. Wesley Smith is a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, and author of several books, including Forced Exit. Wesley, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from our break, Ken Samples will join us. Part two of our five-part daily series with him on worldviews. Yesterday, we dealt with the Christian worldview. Now we're going to kind of fly to the opposite end of the spectrum. Not that we're really talking about things that are on a spectrum with one another, but for the sake of argument, how does it compare to the Christian worldview? We've talked about the Christian worldview. When we come back, naturalism. Usually people talk about evolutionary theory, but that's just a part of naturalism. Naturalism is a way of viewing the world. It's a way of viewing God, usually doesn't exist. It's a way of viewing man. Man is merely part of the material that makes up this world. And it's a way of viewing human dignity and morality and all the other important things in life. We'll evaluate naturalism with Ken Samples on the other side of this break. Look, healthcare is a complicated situation. But it shouldn't be complicated if someone is alive, wants to live, and wants the care that a doctor and a hospital can provide. If the basic tenet of medicine is still do no harm rather than do harm, then of course, shouldn't they get that care? We'll be right back to talk about worldviews and naturalism. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Villa in Finland is online. Villa, welcome to Issues Etc.
This thing about forgiveness, I think Jesus forgave on the cross and so did Stephen, and this shows only that the Holy Spirit can do that. That was what I wanted to say.
Villa, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Finland.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
Here are a few of the features of the new Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Study notes, application notes, and prayers from a uniquely Lutheran perspective. 120 maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.